All right. So about 13 years ago, I was visiting a friend of mine who lived in Costa Rica at the time. And while I was there, we decided that we were going to spend a day at the beach. So we drive down to this beach resort on the Pacific Ocean side of Costa Rica. And I have seriously never seen waves this big. Now, I don't know if they're always like that there, but I'm not talking about these baby Panama City Beach, Florida waves, right? But these were full-grown man waves on steroids that towered at least 6 feet over my head in the water. Anyway, we get in the ocean to ride these waves. And the first one I try to catch, I don't ride it, right? Kind of like you don't ride an angry bull. Instead, this wave catches me and it flips me upside down, and the undercurrent pulled me down and drove me into the sand underneath. And I seriously had to fight just to get back to the surface. And immediately when I come out of the water, I was hit by another massive wave. I couldn't even catch my breath. And so I quickly realized that, hey, the ocean's not playing games. I just need to retreat and get out and go back to the pool. Now, the reason I share that is because for many of us, that's what life feels like, right? Like we're just trying to enjoy our time, and yet massive wave after massive wave knocks us down and threatens to drown us. And I don't know if that resonates with you, but for me, when Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33, "In this world you will have trouble," I feel every bit of that, right? Life has a way of knocking us down over and over again, overwhelming us at times, and just when we think we've gotten past one bit of trouble, the next wave's waiting to knock us down again. And sometimes we feel like we can't even catch our breath. Do you ever feel that way? Like overwhelmed by life, by the never-ending sea of responsibilities, or the challenge of just trying to make ends meet, to break free from stifling debt, or to navigate broken relationships, broken minds, broken hearts, broken bodies, dealing with sickness, with pain, with loss and grief. All of it, the product of the fall in which sin subjected creation to futility and subjected us to suffering and bondage. But Jesus didn't leave us without hope. Yeah, he promised us that in this world we would have trouble, but then he tells us to take heart, to be encouraged, because he had overcome the world. That's what Jesus came to do. He's come to conquer, to overcome, and that's what he did. Just after saying these words, he actually went to the cross where he disarmed, the Bible says, the rulers and authorities of this world. He disarmed them. They're not armed anymore. Jesus has taken the sting out of sin and death. So with that in mind, I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 18 today. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, it should be on the screen below me. This is what it says. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." All right, so as Paul begins to close this letter here, he reminds us that we have a very real spiritual enemy who is constantly scheming against us. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that this enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Jesus tells us in John 10:10 that this spiritual enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. So everything that occurs in the visible, physical world is directly connected to this wrestling match being waged in the invisible spiritual world. The effects of the war going on in the unseen world reveal themselves in things like our strained and damaged relationships, emotional instability, mental fatigue, physical exhaustion, and so many other areas of our life. Many of us, we recognize that we've been pinned down by things like anger and bitterness, as we talked about just a couple of weeks ago, or we find ourselves in bondage to things like unforgiveness or pride or comparisons or insecurities, discord, fear, and the list goes on and on. But the driving force, the primary nemesis behind all of these effects is the devil himself. So when there is fear and fatigue and unrelenting temptation, persistent anxiety, stress, waves of despair, lying, desire for revenge, depression, and hopelessness, when all of those things occur, you can be sure that there's something sinister going on beyond the surface of the things that we can see. And so Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now listen, this doesn't mean that all of the troubles that we face in this life, those things that overwhelm us and knock us down, as we talked about in the beginning, it doesn't necessarily mean that the devil brought those things into our life. I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes we bring trouble on ourselves by foolish choices we make. And sometimes trouble finds us because, again, we live in this world that is operating in futility as a result of sin. But make no mistake, our spiritual enemy will work in and through each of these things to try and steal from us and destroy us. His desire is to use those things to try and erode our faith in God, to get us to question his goodness, his kindness, his love and mercy, his faithfulness, that he's not really for us, but against us, right? The enemy desires to use those things to try and convince us that other people are really the enemy, right? Your spouse, your coworkers, your parents, your people with different political ideologies and leanings, right? Other nations, other people groups, people of other races and religions. And so Paul is saying to us, you have to see it for what it is and be ready for it so that you can stand against it. He uses that word stand four times here in this passage. And it literally means to set yourself against, to hold firm, to remain steadfast, to hold your ground. I'm constantly telling my baseball players to get into an athletic stance, which means to be ready. Like, I shouldn't be able to come up and just push you over. That's the idea here, to be ready, to hold your ground, to stand firm. So what does that look like in a spiritual sense? Well, Paul starts off in verse 10, by saying that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So first off, listen, this is not about our strength or our will. It's not about us pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. It's not about our intellect or our abilities or our talents. It's not about our toughness or fortitude or determination. It's all about leaning on the Lord's strength. It's about us realizing that his strength is made perfect in our weakness and hiding ourselves in the shelter of his arms. So every morning when I pray, one of the things that I pray is that God would deliver me from the schemes of the enemy, that he would be my rock, my fortress, a strong tower in which I hide. So it's us realizing that we are extremely vulnerable apart from the Lord, and living each day in surrender to him, dependent on him and his strength to see us through, to abide in him and with him, as we've been talking about. That's when his strength is made perfect in our lives. So are you abiding in him each day? Are you rooted and grounded in him? That's the question, right? The other thing that Paul mentions here in this passage is that we are to put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, we could actually spend weeks talking about the various aspects of this passage, carefully breaking down each piece of the armor that Paul mentions, But honestly, I think we tend to overanalyze and overcomplicate things sometimes. Remember, here in the book of Ephesians, Paul wants us to establish deep roots, right? To firmly establish our identity in Jesus, so that when we face the difficult circumstances of this life and the extreme hardship of this world, our hope and faith are firmly established and are not shaken or uprooted, but instead produces this rich fruit which Jesus promises us, right? So if you look back at the book of Ephesians and you start in chapter 1 and you look at what Paul is reminding us about our identity in Jesus, you're going to see how valuable you are to God, right? Start in verse 1, right? It says, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. We are chosen. It says, actually, we are chosen, or we were chosen before the foundations of the earth, right? We are adopted into the family of God through Jesus. Our freedom was purchased by his blood. We are forgiven. He has lavished his grace upon us. We are saved. We are loved. And on I could go. Just read it again for yourselves and see what God says about you. Well, that's what Paul's doing here also in this passage in Ephesians chapter 6. He's reminding us of our identity in Christ. So this week, as I read through the different pieces of armor, right? Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the word of God. I realized that the armor of God is about our identity in Christ. Now, I love the movie Gladiator, and I don't know if you like it or not, but I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. But it's about this decorated Roman general named Maximus, who is held in such high regard by the emperor Marcus Aurelius that the emperor asks Maximus to step in as protector of Rome when he dies and to ensure that Rome becomes a republic once again. But obviously, this doesn't sit well with the emperor's son, Commodus, who, when he hears of this plan, he murders his father, the emperor, and then proclaims himself emperor, and then demands that Maximus swear allegiance to him. And of course, Maximus refuses. He escapes Commodus's men, and he heads for home. He's been counting the days until he sees his wife and his son again. But when he gets back home at last, he finds that his family has been crucified by Commodus's troops. And so, exhausted and despairing, he collapses, and he's picked up by these slave traders who sell him as a gladiator. And in a pivotal scene, we watch this man, Maximus, who has lost everything, win this huge gladiatorial victory before the emperor himself. And when Commodus enters the arena and asks him his name, this is what happens. It's so powerful. He removes his helmet, and he says to Commodus, he says, "My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix legions, and loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next." And when he reveals himself, Commodus is visibly afraid. It was his identity that struck fear into the heart of Commodus. Now, in the same way, the greatest weapon that you and I have against this present darkness, as Paul says, this spiritual enemy who wages war against us, that seeks to devour us, to rob us, and to destroy us, the greatest weapon we have, listen to me, is our identity in Christ. Remembering not just who we are, but whose we are. We are children of the Most High God, the Almighty, Sovereign King of the universe, Creator and Sustainer of all things. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, who is the truth. According to John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Remember, we are to arm ourselves with the belt of truth, the one who holds all things together, the one who defeated sin, hell, and the grave on the cross at Calvary, the one who never sinned, who God made to be the offering for our sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. were to put on the breastplate of righteousness, the Prince of Peace, who, when we bring our troubles to him, gives us a peace that passes understanding. Our feet are made ready by the gospel of peace. The one who justifies us by faith as we trust him. We're to take up the shield of faith, who saves us by grace through faith, for there is salvation in no other. We're to take on the helmet of salvation. Listen, through him we are victorious. He fights for us. We only need to stand firm. We are strengthened and empowered by his word, the sword of the Spirit, which has the power to destroy strongholds and every deception that opposes the knowledge of God. So we fall when we try to operate in our own strength apart from God. Instead, we are called to stand firm, knowing that we belong to him. And listen, we know how the story ends, right? We have the whole story in the Word of God. We know how the story ends. The enemy schemes and he attacks, but it's all in vain because in the end, Jesus reigns victorious. Jesus wins. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, that Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Listen, it was at the cross that Jesus stripped the demonic world of the power that it had over the world and over humanity. At the cross, he made a public spectacle of the devil and his demons by overwhelmingly defeating them in death. Through him, humanity is set free. The victory of Jesus was total and complete. It is finished. And he shares his victory with us, with those who belong to him by faith. So listen, it's yours for the taking. So stand firm in that victory. Take heart in your day of trouble. Take refuge and abide in him each and every day, because the enemy is on the prowl, but the Lord holds you in his righteous and victorious right hand. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Stand firm, knowing that you belong to him, and he does not lose. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. God, you are sovereign creator of all things. You hold all things in your hand. God, you spoke all things into existence, and you formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Who is man that you are mindful of him? Yet you loved us, and you pursued us even when we were wayward and sinful and rebellious and treasonous against you. You pursued us to death on a cross. God, we thank you for salvation. God, we thank you, Father, for our new identity in Christ. God, that we are chosen and adopted. God, that you lavished your grace upon us. God, that we belong to you, that we have been given the right by the blood of Christ to be called your sons and your daughters. God, what an amazing thing. God, if we are your children and you are almighty, God, what can stand against us? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. God, remind us, Father, that you fight for us. God, remind us, Father, that in you alone we have victory. God, help us, Father, to abide in you, to hide ourselves in your strength. And may your strength be made perfect in our weakness, God. God, as life overwhelms us and troubles come against us each and every day, God, may we find refuge in your presence, God. And may you remind us of the amazing promises that you've given us in Christ Jesus through your word. God, thank you so much for who you are. God, thank you for the gift of salvation purchased by your son Jesus at the cross. Thank you, Lord. God, may we glorify and honor you in all that we say and do. And may we stand firm in our identity in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.